I'm sitting here with Luis Moreno Ocampo, the prosecutor of the ICC since 2003. Thank you, Mr. Ocampo, for joining the Global Observatory today. After an interim period of skepticism, particularly in Africa, the last 2 years the ICC has witnessed a new sense of dynamism, as evidenced by the Libya referral, the transfer of Cote d'Ivoire's former president Laurent Gbagbo to The Hague, and widespread calls for also referring the situation in Syria to the ICC. What is your take on the growing role of the ICC, and which factors contributed to this development?
I disagree with your question. I don't know. You have no basis to say for first year was nothing. It's wrong. You are talking about cases we're not in the media all the time. But our cases in Uganda forced the Joseph Kony killing to stop. 1.1 million people were displaced. And because the Sudan agreed to arrest Kony, Kony left Sudan. And it happened in 2006. And the cases in Congo were critically important to keep Congo under more peaceful conditions. There is a Jumper Bemba was in 2006 and was the vice president of Congo. So there was not just inactivity, on the contrary, it was full of activity. Inactivity is this independent commission of inquiry who did no case in years. The court was always up and running. We're always in the front pages? No, we don't need to be in the front pages. So maybe you're expressing a perception from New York, but it's baseless.
I agree with the notion that you expressed, and I would not in any way say that the court has been inactive, but it just seems that after the initial startup phase, there has been a new sense, a more mainstream acceptance of the court, which I think is a positive factor building on what you have achieved in the build-up phase.
That is a good reshaping of your question. But the problem is you are expressing some kind of vision from New York. Yes, we are not in New York, but we're very active. And in fact, because we're active in Congo and Uganda, doing big cases in cases were ignored, the Darfur situation was referred to the court. And I think what is bad is the genocide in Darfur is not controlled. That is bad. So I would suggest that I had the responsibility with the institution. In 2003, when I arrived, there were two public officers in my office and 18 judges waiting for cases. So, of course, after 8 years, we have much more cases, much more activity, you see more. So it's a normal result. But the problem, what I see today, is not ICC. ICC is doing much more than we expected. When you read what people was expecting, I was at Harvard teaching when I was appointed. One of my colleagues told me, Luis, refuse the charge, refuse the position, it will be a shame for you. Without US support, you cannot arrest, you cannot investigate, it will be a shame, it will be 9 years doing nothing in The Hague. It's a completely different framework now. The court is, in few years, we transformed the court into an institution in the international relations. The court is working very well in the 120 state members of the treaty, and it's much more controversial and complicated in cases like Darfur, Libya, where the Security Council referred the case, and then the Security Council is involved, and the Security Council is a political body with different views. But then I would suggest that you had to reframe the question. The court did its job, and just an active court changed completely the global dynamic. What is happening in the world today is there is a rule very clear. Political leaders cannot gain or retain power committing massive atrocities. If this happened in the country member of the treaty, immediate punishment. When it's happening in other countries, like could be Yemen or Syria or Libya, the Security Council will decide when to do justice, as in Libya, or when look for different solutions. But this is a new world, that's why I like that. Yeah, what to understand? Security Council is evolving, we are no more in the Cold War. There's no one superpower. It's a multipolar interaction where rich organizations have a critical role. Arab League was crucial to allow a referral to Libya. Arab League is today not pushing for a referral in Syria, but they condemn Syria. It's huge. So in South America, the states control when Colombia, Ecuador, and Venezuela had a conflict a couple of years ago. All the Latin American states jump on them. So what you see the court is a little piece of the new global system who is establishing a rule to protect citizens in the world that the leaders cannot commit atrocities. That's what we are doing, okay?
Of course, an interesting benchmark, I would say, is the review conference in Kampala, which in a way reaffirmed that the Rome Statute system is working. That I think that has been reaffirmed at the highest political level very recently. But to switch gears a little bit and focus on your work, that is the work of the Office of the Prosecutor, your work is under most intense scrutiny and is frequently criticized by many people. Some have criticized you for the selection of cases. Others have criticized the policy of your office to conduct focused investigations and prosecutions. Some found sequential investigations of various groups inappropriate, and the list goes on. What is your assessment of the success of your prosecutorial strategy so far, and what, if anything, do you think can be strengthened or changed or adapted?
I was decreasing because I was too slow in Sudan, too fast in Gaddafi, too comprehensive in one case, very small case in Lubanga. That is life of the prosecutor. I'm not in a popularity contest. My standards were fully respected. In 1998, the court was established, and the huge challenge was a prosecutor independent to open situations. That was never done in the past, because Nuremberg, Yugoslavia, Rwanda, the countries decide, the security council decide where to go. Here, the court will decide. That was a huge issue. It changed international relations. And we opened 7 situations, and there's zero conflict on that. No one is challenging that. That means that we solved the big issues, and then in the other aspect, of course, look, we're working with lawyers. Lawyers have opinions. Do they know the facts? Not always. They have their own positions. Human Rights Watch question how many cases we're doing. And they question without mentioning the policy we adopted in 2003. It's my fault. No, it's their fault. It's okay. Oh, but maybe people feeling, oh, I don't need to discuss that. It's okay. People make comments. Sometimes they have no information. I think it's showing the interest the court. And it's okay. It's part of, I'm not trying to please people. I'm trying to respect the law. And on this, no one is saying I'm doing illegal things. I'm proud. I managed to open 7 situations absolutely with my mandate. No one can challenge that my case is not grave enough. All my cases are the most serious crimes. And all my cases have evidence. And we're winning. We have to challenge, to discuss, to appeal, but we are winning our cases. So I'm doing what I had to do. And respect people who have different views is part of my duty.
Much has also been said about the alleged tension between the aims of justice and of peace. The discussions were heated when Joseph Kony in Uganda made his participation in peace talks conditional upon the removal of ICC arrest warrants. Many were afraid of the fallout that would result from the arrest warrant against Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir, and some worried that the indictment of Muammar al-Gaddafi might prolong fighting in Libya. What is your view on these tensions?
People have to understand, before ICC, the way to control crimes was to negotiate. Eventually, when national leaders were committing crimes, the state's threat with bombing. And eventually, some people were thinking the ICC could be like a new threat to force negotiation. This is not the ICC. ICC could not be a threat. ICC is a judicial system. So when the judicial system is in motion because we are part of the Kenyan justice system or because the Security Council referred the case, it's a judicial process. And the responsibility of peace is not part of the judicial responsibility. It's Security Council resolution. Security Council has all the power. If they consider we are a threat of peace, they will stop. What I see again, many of the criticism, it's not my business to be involved in the peace process, not my judicial activity. I had to keep my judicial role. But what I see is a lack of accuracy. We never interrupt the peace process. In fact, reality show that the court intervention was used to launch peace processes. The Juba talks with Joseph Kony was launched after we forced Joseph Kony to leave, to left. He left Sudan because we make an agreement with Sudan to arrest Joseph Kony. It's pity that instead to manage to arrest him and stop the crimes, we let him to get money, more weapons, and attack again. He killed 2,000 people in Congo after. So that's pity. It's not the court. It's pity how we manage the negotiation, how we let Kony to trick us. And similar in the Sudan case, when we requested a warrant for Harun, this launched a peace process led by Jan Eliasson and Salim Salem. This process failed in June 2008, and then, it's funny, a few days after we announced that we'll present the case, Salim Salem and Eliasson resigned it. So it was not our fault that this fall. In fact, I think it was pity that we not use well the Harun case to force to stop the crimes. And then we present the case against Bashir, and a new process start with Qatar and Bachelet as negotiators. And what I see in the Bashir case, negotiation depend on how much energy countries put. When Bush was totally firm to push for end impunity, was different negotiation. Then was softer. So it's not. I think if we understand what is happening, see the facts. The facts are clear. It's not us affecting the peace process. The criminals are affecting the peace process because what they like to do, use the negotiation to protect themselves. Imagine if Gaddafi is in power today with a peace process. Would be good? No, disaster. A disaster. So sometimes the court intervention stops any intention to ignore the victims and appease the criminals. It's not when people are committing massive atrocities to stay in power, being Hitler, Gaddafi, or whoever, it's difficult to let them in power without committing crime because they will fall.
You already mentioned the Security Council, and this is, of course, one of the most complex relationships. I mean, the relationship between the ICC and the Security Council in the wider context of peace and justice. How is this cooperation working so far, and where do you see gaps?
Well, this is a huge evolution. When I started, the Security Council distrust us. They passed an Article 16 resolution stopping us to intervene in the peacekeepers' areas. Just 2 years later, 11 votes, 3 months of discussions, Darfur referral. 2011, one day debate, no debate, 15 votes. That's evolution. I think today in the discussion was interesting because the prosecutor is controlled by the judges in what is individual responsibility we are pretending to establish. By Security Council on peace and justice. Security Council is in charge of peace, and they can stop the prosecutor whenever they want it. So that is a system, and it's a huge change in international relations, but it's happening. So what I think is that the facts are clear, the theories are confused sometimes.
What can you tell us about the progress of investigations and prosecutions in the various situations before the court? It seems that progress is uneven. For example, in the Cote d'Ivoire, the DRC, Kenya situations, things seem to be moving along more quickly and progress is somewhat more visible. But not as much has happened recently in the cases of Darfur and Uganda. What are the reasons for this?
Well, in Darfur, we just in December requested an arrest warrant against the current Minister of Defense, so maybe you have to have the facts better. So we just presented the new arrest warrant for the same, connecting, showing that the current Minister of Defense, when he was Minister of the Interior in 2003, he was in the middle of chain of command between Bashir, Harun, in the middle was him, and we proved his criminal responsibility. The judges were discussed on that. In both cases, Sudan and Uganda, the issue is not the court, the issue is implementing the arrest warrant. And it's like you are in what country are you from? Germany. Okay, a judge in Germany issued an arrest warrant and the police is not implementing. It's not a judge's responsibility, it's a police responsibility. Here, is international community decided to do justice in these cases and how to implement it. For me, it's fascinating how this group, Invisible Children, promote the law, and now have 100 members of the U.S. Army advising and supporting the Ugandan effort to arrest Joseph Kony. That is unique, but it's funny that was the consequence of a group of citizens from San Diego, not the consequence of one of the 120 states of the wrong status. So that's something. And Bashir case is different because it's complex. I think Bashir was able to transform the Southern Sudan problem into his alibi to escape from accountability on Darfur. I think his destiny is to face justice, because that's something we have to understand. It's like it's a trend. The Yugoslav Tribunal in 1961 persons, they had zero at large after 18 years, took time, but they are not escaping. And it's not just international justice. In South America, in the 1980s, Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay, we suffered similar crimes. In 1985, I was the prosecutor in Argentina generals. Pinochet was in power, and in Uruguay, they had a referendum, decided not to investigate. So three completely different situations. 27 years later, similar. In all the countries, the former president were indicted. The top responsible, the general, were indicted. So at the end of the day, what happened is the world is changing because communication, because the world is different. And so the institutions that we developed in the 40s to learn what happened to avoid the Second World War now had to adjust to the new conflict of the 21st century. But the ICC is in the middle of this, is the only new 21st century institution to help. That's why we have to improve our analysis.
Another current situation that is of particular interest, of course, and we touched upon it before, is Libya. The Libyan authorities have yet to provide information about the status of Saif al-Islam, having missed the first deadline. Are you confident that the trials of the former intelligence chief, Abdullah al-Sanusi, and of Saif al-Islam can be held in Libya according to international standards? And could Libya really be a model of the application of the principle of positive complementarity? And how is Libya different from Kenya, where national proceedings were not seen as credible?
No, you got to listen. In Kenya, what happened is they never investigate the same people. In Libya, they have Saif al-Islam in jail, and they say they will investigate him. So it's the same person, the same charges. That's the standard. So in Kenya, they have not the same case. Libya is a complex situation because Libya is emerging from a civil war. So they're trying to build a new system after 40 years of dictatorship. So, but for me as a person, I keep investigating my cases. The cases are still before the court, and I keep doing my work. So we are now investigating the gender crimes, trying to connect them, trying to define who commit them. And of course, al-Sanusi should be arrested. That's the big challenge, because al-Sanusi apparently is still conspiring against Libya. So he should be arrested. And these are the real issues. And we are also trying to see if we need to do another case on that. So, and also there are serious allegations, or there are allegations against the rebel forces. There are people talking about the NATO forces. So a UN Commission of Inquiry is now preparing a report in March. So Libya, I think, was a successful story in terms of stopping the crimes. Now it's a new scenario, highly complex, but I think it's where the ICC is still providing important service, because we will ensure justice in Libya. Whoever do it, I don't know who will do it and what will happen, but it will be justice in Libya.
Finally, I was wondering what your thoughts are concerning the future of the ICC now that your term as prosecutor comes to an end. And what would you like to recommend to your successor and close collaborator of many years, Fatou Bensouda?
We started an office. We are working in transition now. But Fatou was part of the office when we defined operational standards. So it's, in some way, the appointment of Fatou is great for the office because it's ensured a smooth transition. She will keep adjusting the rule we are using, but in a way she knows because she was part of the process. I think the court was a success, has first 9 successful years doing its job, and we had to keep doing, but the real challenge for the rest of the system, the real challenge for the states, okay, how can do better with Bosco? How Bosco could be still at large? How can do better with Kony? How can do, is a genocide in Darfur, and we are doing nothing. So the challenge is not for the court, it's more for the states. And because the problems are difficult, I believe one risk is a state that cannot stop the genocide in Darfur. They say, okay, we stop the court. And then that's why for me, the biggest challenge is states trying to manipulate the court, affect its independence. That's huge risk, because that's what normal states do. Staffing, budget, and oversight are 3 tools states normally use to control organizations. If they try to do this with the ICC, they will kill the ICC. And that, for me, is a challenge. Another challenge is discussing trivial issues. Discussing as a center point is not this, how the system works, and discussing details about our model of liability. I love to discuss the model of liability. I am a lawyer, I like that, but it's not the real issue. So the real issue is the tension between the tension that criminal law produces international relations. But the real challenge is for international relations, because basically we manage the criminal law challenges. We manage well. The court is up and running, doing its job. The judges cream the prosecutor when they consider they have to cream. We fight, we appeal. It's normal. We are a normal court. So we basically are dealing with the criminal law challenges. International relations challenges are still there. We are learning. It's fascinating, but this is a big challenge.
Thank you very much for speaking with the Globe Observatory today.